From my private website, The Sun Series, parts 25A through 25H, posted on my private website in November and December of 2018. Part 25A, Why the Sun is Wider and Hotter on the Flat Earth. Do you all remember when the sun used to be yellow? Anyone who is over 30 should remember the sun was a lighter shade of yellow, and anyone over 50 remembers it as a darker shade. Well, not anymore. It is a bright white color, and there is no yellow hue in it anymore. Well, the answer to why that is makes perfect sense in the correct model, and makes absolutely no sense in their ridiculous model. The answer is simple. The plasma tube of light is tightening. Due to angular momentum, remember, arms out, wide and slower. Arms in, narrow and faster. The tube is getting narrow when it used to be wide. So the surface area of the lens is getting a more focused light. It's less diffuse. Just like when you focus your flashlight, the light will become more intense and brighter. Spot beam is focused and narrow. Flood beam is not focused and wide. So the plasma tube of light that is hitting the lens was wider and is getting more narrow. So the focal point of light is getting more focused and intense. The intensity of the focal point is what is causing the color change. But here is the real kicker. When I finish this series on why the sun is hotter and wider, you will have the biggest sign for when the EMCO will happen. Even better than the shortening of the days. Sorry, JC, I have the complete working model. Next video, part 25B, the hotter sun or focal point and global warming on the flat earth. Part 25B, the hotter sun or focal point and global warming on the flat earth. The first thing everyone should understand is all numbers can be manipulated to support whatever claim one wants. Any accountant or scientist knows that. Remember, the BS fake numbers of gravity. They just plopped in 96% of their values to make their equations work. You need to learn how to hear what is really being said. And Mia is teaching everyone right now. If you have not become a member on her site, do it now. The controllers will tell you portions of the truth they understand, because they know no one will listen. Is global warming real? Yes, it is getting hotter in places. Is global cooling real. Yes, it is getting colder in places. So, is the climate changing? Absolutely, because the sun slash focal point of light is tightening. Therefore, the light it produces is more narrow, focused, and hotter. The sunlight of decades ago was wider, so the light and heat were spread out more evenly. The sun now has a more narrow light, which focuses the heat into a smaller area. So the areas that are under the more narrow light for the longest duration will get the more extreme hot weather. And conversely, the areas that are not under the more narrow light as long will get the more extreme cold weather. With the tightening focal point of light and more extreme natural weather, the controllers need to control. How do they do that? Through clouds. Via weather modification. Next video, part 25C, chemtrails and weather modification on the flat Earth. Part 25C, weather modification on the flat Earth. A strategy that accomplishes one objective is good. A strategy that accomplishes multiple objectives is superb. Brian Austin Lambert. As science investigates the natural environment, it also modifies it, and that modification may have incalculable consequences for evil as well as good. Weather modification is the act of intentionally manipulating or altering the weather. The most common form of weather modification is cloud seeding, which increases rain or snow, usually for the purpose of increasing the local water supply. However, the single most important thing in weather modification is clouds. Why? For making the fresh water in the form of rain and snow, and heat retention and reflection. It's called cloud feedback. So high clouds trap more heat and reflect sunlight. Low clouds reflect more sunlight and retain less heat. All right, so the incoming solar radiation, 51% is absorbed by the surface of the Earth. 4% is reflected back from the surface. The atmosphere reflects back about 6%, and the clouds reflect about 20% of incoming light, and it absorbs another 19%. So 39% to 40% of solar radiation is absorbed or reflected back from clouds. Anyone who has ever slept outside knows how on a clear night it gets cold, and on an overcast night it stays warmer. Clouds act like a blanket to keep heat in, and are also used as a reflector to keep heat in the form of direct sunlight out. So they can deflect the intense heat with clouds to try to reduce temperature, and they can also use clouds to disperse and retain heat where colder temperatures are a problem. Clouds, so beautiful and harmless looking, but hold the key to weather modification. Clouds have multiple purposes or objectives for the controllers. 1. Fresh water, rain and snow. 2. Sunlight reflection. 3. Sunlight absorption. 4. Heat dispersion. And 5. Visually obscuring the sun and moon to hide the signs for the EMCO. I will get into that in a later video. Next video, part 25D, chemtrails on the flat earth. Part 25D, chemtrails on the flat earth. What chemtrails are not? Chemtrails are not a means to poison the air and kill the population. Rational thought, folks. Remember, even the controllers have to breathe the air. They are not poisoning the only supply of air that everyone has to breathe. Are there other objectives the controllers use chemtrails for? Absolutely, but it is not to kill their property and slaves. Again, that would be you. The EMCO will take care of that. So what are chemtrails? Just a cheaper and more efficient way of making clouds. Here's a before and after picture of chemtrails turning into clouds. And here's another picture of before, during, and after of the sky, chemtrails, and then clouds being formed. There are private companies that make clouds and modify the weather, like this one, called Weather Modification Incorporated. On their About Us tab, this is what it says. Now, more than ever, the worldwide need for solutions to atmospheric necessities, such as water resource management and environmental quality monitoring, is critical. With nearly a half century of successful programs, our experience speaks for itself. A half century, private companies have been doing that, including the ones listed here, and this is just A through N. There are dozens and dozens of companies worldwide that are private and modify the weather. Now, if you were a controller, would you leave it up to the free market and private industry to control the weather? And would you use planes like this one? That leaves trails like this to form clouds? Or would you enhance your capabilities by what is already out there to really modify the weather? And leave trails like this. There are an average of 9,728 passenger planes in the sky at any given time. Chemtrails are worldwide. Yes, even in England, Switzerland, Italy, Israel, Russia, China, etc. Everywhere planes fly. The controllers are using the world's passenger jets to covertly, not really, if people would get their head out of their asses, to modify the weather by creating more clouds. The sun focal point is tightening and getting hotter, so they are using clouds to mitigate and disperse the heat. The objectives of passenger airliners: 1, to make clouds quickly and cheaply. 2, to use petroleum-based fuels. 3, cheap and fast transportation for passengers. 4, cheap and fast transportation of products. 5, to fleece the people, slaves, out of money by convincing them to take vacations to faraway destinations that are pointless. 6, to take away freedoms in the name of safety. 7, to have fucking power-tripping losers grope people for no reason. Sorry for that little rant. I have only flown twice since 9/11 because I don't want to support that industry or the Orwellian measures that they have put in place since. One flight was an absolute must, though, the flight to LA to be with Mia. Next video, part 25E, How Clouds Form on the Flat Earth. Part 25E, How Clouds Form on the Flat Earth. Brian, you say to yourself, why do we need to know how clouds form? Oh, how clouds form is so important to how your world really works. Clouds cannot form without particulates. You need particulates: dust, salt, pollen, smoke, exhaust, pollutants, etc. With water vapor and a temperature below the dew point, so that the air is saturated and clouds can form. How clouds form. Clouds form when warm, moist air rises and cools. Water vapor condenses on tiny particles to form liquid water or ice crystals. 1. Warm, moist air rises from the surface. As air rises, it cools. 2. At a certain height, air cools to the dew point and condensation begins. 3. Water vapor condenses on tiny particles, particulates, in the air, forming a cloud. Air pollution comes from a wide variety of sources. Some of the most excessive sources include vehicle or manufacturing exhaust, forest fires, volcanic eruptions, dry soil erosion, and other natural sources, building, construction, or demolition. Atmospheric aerosol. Aerosol is just another word for a particulate. Here's all the different ways that the particulates can get up into the atmosphere, and they have to be up there in order for water vapor to form on something. There has to be tiny particles of matter for water to form on. So the air or atmosphere has to have particulates. Particulates like this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Chemtrails are just another way to make clouds. People, you need to start trusting your senses again. The answers are simple. If you see clouds being formed from chemtrails, why do you need anyone to tell you what chemtrails are? So the jet planes are leaving particulates from their engine exhaust. And this is the end result if the air temperatures are right. The controllers cannot modify the weather without clouds. And to make the clouds, they need as many particulates or pollutants in the air as possible. No particulates equals no clouds equals no precipitation. Next video, part 25F, ground-based cloud factories on the flat Earth. Part 25F, ground-based cloud factories on the flat Earth. Since we are covering clouds, anything else seem bizarre? When they were trying to program me in the indoctrination centers called schools in the 1980s, this is how many cloud types there were. Four types of clouds: cumulus, cirrus, nimbus, stratus. And now you have all of these. So in the last 30 some odd years, new cloud types have been forming. I guess that's the evolution of clouds. But you have to look at who's naming them. NOAA and NASA. Now there are 32 types of clouds. 32, interesting number. The freezing point of water and the highest level of the Masonic order. All right, on to the topic at hand. Ground-based cloud factories. Most people believe that the weather has only been modified since the mid-1900s or so, due to the advancement of airplane technology. You do not need planes to modify the weather. I'm sure most of you have seen this. This is the NASA cloud-making machine. I believe it's in Alabama. This is just one of many different ways to make clouds. And then there's all the other ways to get the particulates up in the air for the clouds to form on. NASA is just a little late to the party. Here's some other ways clouds can form. Like this. And this. And this. And this. Those pictures are all of power plants. How a power plant works. There's two things that come out of them, besides electricity, and sometimes electricity going in them. In the cooling tower comes out water vapor in the form of clouds because it's steam. And from the chimney stack comes particulates or also known as pollution. Tangent. Just because you see power lines coming from certain factories, i.e. nuclear, that does not mean the electricity is coming from the plant. There are 62,000 power plants all over the world. That includes coal, oil, natural gas, all of those power plants put up particulates into the air, or pollution. So this process of factories making clouds and particulates slash pollution to modify the weather has been going on since the Industrial Revolution of the late 1700s and 1800s is when the controllers started to modify the weather in the current blue sky system. Let that one sink in for a while. The Industrial Revolution ground-based factories were very efficient at getting large amounts of particulates into the air. But dispersing those particulates evenly over vast distances, they needed other means. The controllers have always had a particulate problem. Civilization has to generate particulates to form clouds and make the precipitation to have fresh water. Pollution equals particulates equals clouds equals precipitation. No precipitation equals no fresh water to drink, no water for crops, and no water for domesticated animals. Tough to build a civilization without fresh water. Go figure. Pollution is actually a necessity for life and civilization. Main objectives of factories. 1. To get particulates slash pollution in the air. 2. Create clouds for precipitation. 3. To burn fossil fuels slash petroleum. 4. Create energy slash electricity. 5. Employ the slaves. 6. Create useless petroleum-based products for the slaves to buy and for the slaves to willingly give back their wages to the controllers. Next video, part 25G, Transportation on the Flat Earth. Part 25G, Transportation on the Flat Earth. So ground-based cloud factories have a huge drawback, dispersion. So the controllers of old had to find ways to disperse the particulates through colonization and expansion. Here is America in the 1830s. America's industry and population were all out east, so expansion west and manifest destiny were the goals of the 1800s. So through expansion and transportation, the controllers were able to disperse their particulates worldwide. During the 1800s, worldwide, the controllers used coal and wood-burning steam engines on trains. to disperse particulates and people to lands that were devoid of industrial civilization. So railways were the most efficient means on land. So in the 1800s, the railways took off all over the world, and especially the United States. Today, there are over 141,000 miles of railway in the U.S. alone. On rivers, lakes, and coastal areas, the controllers used coal and wood-burning steam engines on steamships during the 1800s. Transportation by water has always been cheaper and quicker than by land, but there are always limits to where they could go. By the turn of the century, metal-hulled ships took over, and fleets of coal-burning warships were traversing the oceans worldwide. During the European colonization and expansion, for passengers, they eventually created huge passenger ships like the Lusitania and the Titanic to transport peoples throughout the world. And if you think those particulate-making ships are no longer, think again. Particulate-making ships are still a necessity for the controllers over large bodies of water. There are about 1 million ships and boats, not including recreational boats, in the world. With Ford, around the turn of the century, came the automobile age. Cars allowed an even more dispersed method of particulate spreading. Railways are like the main arteries, and roadways became the capillaries into the really remote areas. So hence the rise of the suburbs in the 1950s, and eventually even the remotest of areas with off-roading vehicles and trucks. There are over 1 billion passenger cars in the world in use today. Subsistence living was done away with, and consolidation of goods into grocery stores and malls. That assured the use of diesel-powered heavy trucks to haul said goods throughout the country and world. In the undeveloped areas, heavy equipment, bulldozers, excavators, dump trucks, etc., were spreading particulates. And the military handles the worst of the lands for bases and training, and spread worldwide to countries that were not on board with the controller's agenda. And deep in the suburbs, they have a secret weapon to spread the particulates. You, the slaves. Lawn and property maintenance. Don't forget about all the other things with particulate-making engines. Lawnmowers, push and riding, motorcycles, weed eaters, chainsaws, blowers, snow blowers, generators, barbecues, etc. Then, with the advent of air travel, the controllers got their most efficient means of dispersion. They could deposit the particulates at elevation and create routes wherever they needed them. There are about 40,000 large passenger, cargo, and military planes worldwide, not including light aircraft, carrying over 4.1 billion passengers annually. If you think chemtrails are a recent thing, you'd be dead wrong. All of these photos are from World War II. So the controllers just needed to subsidize all of their transportation efforts. The controllers got the slaves to do the work and to pay for it at the same time. How? By convincing them through patriotism, religion, marketing, advertisements, peer pressure, programming, indoctrination, etc. The controllers convinced the slaves they needed to move to a certain place, take a vacation to some exotic land, buy that third car, get that huge house, manicure their lawn, get those Air Jordans for their kid, eat organic, buy cheap, crappy products from Walmart, etc., etc., etc. The controllers convinced all their slaves that they could be more than a slave via money, status, fame, celebrity, wealth, awards, accolades, etc. And all the slaves bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Because the controllers know, the slaves do not know the difference between wants and needs. Next video, part 25H, greenhouse and CO2 on the flat earth. Part 25H, greenhouse and CO2 on the flat earth. The greenhouse effect is just another ridiculous theory in a sea of BS theories the controllers program everyone with. So what is CO2, and why has it been all over the news in the last few decades? Let's start with what it is not. CO2 is not a greenhouse gas, and even if it were, it's only 0.28% of what's in the atmosphere. The largest greenhouse gas, which is the wrong term, the heat retention thing in the atmosphere, is water vapor. Clouds and water vapor. 95% of the atmosphere heat is held in by water. And that doesn't even include the waters above. In most cases, the answers are so simple. So what is CO2 then? It is plant food. Everybody learned this in grade school. Carbon dioxide is one of the things that plants need to grow. So why are the controllers making plant food a bad thing? Because a world thick with heavy vegetation all over the place would be a very bad thing. With the impending conflagration fires caused by the electromagnetic plasma changeover event, or EMCO. Next video, part 25I, particulate problem on the flat Earth. Next part will be made public soon.